Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love. Seek treatment if you just can't take a hint. Well, seek treatment with Kat and Pat.
Hey, it's Kat.
And Pat.
And this is Seek Treatment.
This is Seek Treatment, a podcast about
boy sex, fucking, dating, and love.
We're back on the comps, you guys. We're back on the comp. But it was really fun to do in person the other day.
It was so fun to do in person. We're on the comp because it's summer, y'all, and we are working artists trying to make a living from touring our little asses around this country and beyond. Wait, so where are you, girl?
I basically live in San Francisco now. I've been here for like 3 months and then I got here yesterday, but I'm
God, one of the worst places to be. No offense.
Oh, I kind of like it. You know, I like lived here. I lived here in 2018 by coming here twice in one summer.
You did live there. I remember that. I ran into this girl on the street yesterday. It was so sweet. And she sent me a nice message and she was like, I loved you in 2018. I'm like, what about now?
Wait, what? That's so weird.
It was literally a nice message, but of course I have a disease where if I get a nice message, I have to dissect it and be like, how are they actually in some way being not nice and actually cruel?
Yeah. Oh my God. There was this incredible table. This incredible table at my show last night. It was like,
oh wait, so you had the show last night?
I had a show last night, tonight, and then 2 tomorrow and Saturday.
Damn Danielle.
Yeah, it's really damn Danielle status. I
Damn Danielle is a Three Busy Debras joke that I said in front of my dad, and now my dad says it literally nonstop. Years later, he's like, "Damn Danielle," like every other day.
Oh my God.
So you had a table.
That, oh yeah, there's a four-person table. It was two women and then a woman and a man. And the man, you know, when it's a classic thing of like, oh, you actually want to gouge your eyes out, like you shouldn't have to be here. Like, I don't know who brought you here. It's not fair to you. Like, you're not.
Let's get him on a stretcher. Let's wheel him out.
You're not being set up for success by being brought to this show. So I kept like engaging them because I had to. Like, I mean, I've never seen such stone-facedness. Like, the crowd in general was great, and like, I think it was like a couple, and then like the couple's brother and his girlfriend. The two women, I think, were a couple, sure. And then like I think, and then so eventually I was like, I'm sorry to come back to you guys. Like, I'm not one of those people that, like, you know, when like whenever you say like you're doing a show, whenever like someone like a random person from like a day job or like your family friend or something says they want to come to your show, and they're like, I'm not sitting in that front row because I know you'll roast me. And
yeah, you'll rip me up to shreds, girl.
It's like I was like, I'm not that kind of comic. Like, people can feel really safe sitting in the front row, but I have to check back in with you. Like, it doesn't seem like you're having a good time. That's okay. Like, I just,
right.
Kinda,
it's
like,
beautiful, even to be like, so against the grain.
And he said this, I'm enjoying myself. I'm finding it funny.
So he wants you dead. That sucks.
Yeah. But then like towards the end of the show, like they kind of all four got up and left. And I was like in the middle of doing a bit. So I like had to make the choice of like,
Oh, right. Am I going to actually commit to the bit?
Or I'd been like in the middle of like doing like my stand up. And then like as I was doing like a longer thing in my stand up.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. And so I had to make the choice of like, at this point, they were a huge part of the show, to be honest. And so like, I paused, like looked at the table and was just like, I'm going to just keep doing the bet. And then, but then afterwards I like checked back in and I was like, okay, so like they all left, like what's going on? Like they hated me, whatever. But then one of the girls popped back in and she was like, no, we just have to go home. We drove 4 hours to be here.
Oh my God. But so you thought hated you drove 4 hours to see you.
Well, no, the girls did hate. And what I said, because then I said to the audience, I was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. I felt so bad. I was like, the brother will be the last face I see before I die. But
of course.
Who cares? Someone has to be.
Someone's got to be there up in the stars, shining.
Someone's face has to be the last face.
Shining, shimmering, splendid. Wait, I wanted to tell you something so fucking awesome. Wait. Oh, I had something to tell you that was so fucking awesome. Can't remember. Anyways, today is my – here's the deal. Today is my dad's birthday. Yesterday was my brother's birthday. And July 1st was my parents' anniversary. Kind of a huge week for my family.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Cool.
I'm not someone who is like want to celebrate my parents' anniversary.
But not even me. Look at me. Not even me at all.
You did a good post. Catherine, you did a good post.
You know why? Because I was literally with them in the flesh and I'd been with them for weeks and they were like, it's our anniversary. And we went to this nice dinner and they're like, we're celebrating our anniversary. And me and Bri went out with my parents for their anniversary. And we went to like my favorite kind of place, old fashioned steakhouse, and just like went off with like rare steak, mac and cheese, martinis, mm-hmm. like no holds barred. I was like, so it's your anniversary dinner. So like, tell us the secret of your love. Like, tell us the tricks of the trade. And they both have not really had other relationships besides each other, which means they absolutely think my brothers and I are always overreacting whenever we go through anything related to love. My dad's like, yeah. So dump them. He's like, so dump them, kick them to the ground. There's a million people. You're perfect. If someone isn't obsessed with you, making you feel good every second of the day, don't be with them. And then my mom kind of got a bottle for the table of wine and started telling us sort of some beautiful stories about her college days.
Oh my God. Was she a wild girl? Was she a wild child?
Definitely not. But she was telling some fun. She was like, and he was a cutie. I was like, ooh, we're getting into it with mama.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question.
That was fun. Yeah.
I have a question about this. Does your dad, did Brian and your dad like talk about sports or something?
Amazing question. They talk about F1 because Brian's obsessed.
And does your dad know about it?
My dad's learning about it from Brian and he watched the show because of Brian. My dad doesn't care about sports. At all.
Oh, cool.
My mom cares. My family kind of cares about tennis, but we don't follow any other sports.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
And then my dad and Bri will talk like biz. Like my dad's obsessed with like business and like startups.
Yeah. Is Brian like obsessed with business and startups?
He's not really. Brian Stanley talks more about politics, which obviously I have nothing to say except like this sucks.
Yeah.
That sounds so stupid. Whatever.
No.
It's like at this point.
Angelo's dad listens to so many like YouTubes about like Bitcoin and stuff. And it's actually really hot because he's like really good with money or something. Like,
is Angelo's dad hot?
Yeah, there's something there's something sexual towards about him to me.
Of course. Well, it's Oedipal.
Yeah, it's really
it's Rhode Island, it's Oedipal.
You know what he is? Like he's very different. Like he's just very like calm and even keeled and like he's a contractor like by trade and like
contractors sexy contractors like I feel like they like destroy marriages.
Yeah, totally,
because they come in and they're sexy and you're like, oh girl.
Yeah, he just really like has a really good heart, kind, you know, like that kind of hot where it's like, oh, like I just feel like a certain like warmth that's like can even be hot in your way.
I just unlocked a sense memory of my friend getting a slutty Halloween costume that was a construction worker and the apron said home wrecker.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not necessarily amazing for women.
No. Well, anyone can wreck a home, man or woman. Oh, my God. Our guest has entered the building. We're using a new platform right now called Riverside. And so our guest is just popping in to say hello, hello. Please, Seek Treatment listeners, put your ears open for Nana Mensa. Welcome.
Hi, Nana.
Hi, how are you guys?
Thank you so much for joining us from London, England. So it's basically midnight where you are. Are you exhausted? Tell us what's going on. Tell us everything.
It is 6 o'clock. So, you know.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 6 o'clock. I'm going out to dinner when we're done with this.
Oh, so, where are you going?
Oh my God.
I'm going to Nopi. It's if you know Ottolenghi. I mean, basically, yes. You're British, Catherine, so I know you know.
Thank you so much. You know, someone recently texted me like, oh, have fun in London. Like, you really shine over there. And I was like, instead of taking the compliment, I was like, oh, they think I'm bad in America. Like, why? Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with me? I'm like, can I just say thank you? Like, I shine. I can shine across both seas, from sea to shining sea.
You shine.
Wait, so Nana, this is such an exciting time for you. So for those, Pat, so you guys haven't met, but Nana's an amazing actress, writer, filmmaker, a recent new mother, exciting vibe. And your movie is coming out, is it July 22nd?
It's coming out July 15th at BAM. And at
Okay, tell us everything.
And the 22nd in LA. So,
okay.
Yes, I'm getting ready to come to America. It's been an odyssey. Making independent films is hard, which is annoying because I don't know. I just didn't get the memo and I really kind of lost like why I like did this. But now that we're at the end of it, it's wonderful. And we have this gorgeous little film and it's been so fun and great and amazing. So it it's called Queen of Glory. It's a dark comedy about a Christian bookstore in the Bronx. Written kind of in the vein of like, you know, tiny, like Lena Dunham's Tiny Furniture and like Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Basically, I like went to some, I don't know, seminar or something. And somebody was like, well, if you're making a film, you need to shoot around what you can get for cheap or free. And my aunt and uncle owned a Christian bookstore in the Bronx. So I was like, hi, auntie.
Oh, that's so smart.
Ding, ding, yeah. Ding. Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's what we did. That's how we did it.
Wow. Making a film seems so literally hard on it. Just like I could never do. I can't even answer. I literally can't answer an email. So like it would be hard for me. Like it would be hard for me to be like organizing a location or something.
There's probably lots of emails.
So many emails. To this day, so many emails. I'm like, you guys are still emailing me. It's over. The movie is over.
Wait, so how did the process start? Like, when did the idea first come to you and what were the first steps?
The first steps were like getting a producer on board. The idea came to me like 10 years ago, but like, but it was like, basically I was like, a friend had seen went to South By like that year and they were like, oh, there's this producer that you should meet. So I like went onto Facebook and I found like somebody who we knew in common and I basically like cold emailed him. I got his email.
Oh my God.
Cold emailed him and was just like, yo, I've got this idea for a movie. Can we meet? And I was like,
oh my God.
And I thought, because I don't know anything, I'm an idiot. I was like, well, he's a producer, so I have to impress him. So I was like, let's meet for tea at the Crosby Street Hotel.
Yes.
Which is for me, tea at the Crosby Street Hotel is like $18, literally. And I had no money. And so I took him out for tea at the fucking Crosby Street Hotel for $36 in my firstborn. And like,
as a producer, anyone who's like has a job hill that's kind of like producer or something, like they need to be the one who's actually paying. You know what I mean?
I learned that now. But at the, like, yeah. I didn't know.
Right.
So I thought I had to like wine and dine him and make it seem like it wasn't just me. It was just me. And like, I was working at a restaurant. And so that $36 plus tax really meant a lot. And so, and tip, because you know, when you work in a restaurant that you like have to tip like obscenely just because, you know,
of course, because they don't pay anyone who works anywhere ever.
There's also that.
Because how they are. That's how society is.
That's how society is. So $50 later, I got a producer.
So it worked, though.
It worked.
The plan you hatched was a success.
It was.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? It's so much money. But it's like, at the end of the day, to pay $50 for a producer is actually a really good deal.
That's fair. It all worked out in the end.
That is so crazy. Wait, and I hate to do this, but... you know, I love babies and I'm curious about what's the deal with your baby? What's your baby like? What is it your baby hate?
What's your baby like?
And where is your baby on its journey?
My baby on his journey is he's realizing that I am the center of his solar system, which is actually mm-hmm. great for me because I'm an actor. Totally. So it works really well to have that built in, like in-home worship. And so that's pretty cool. He's really like, he's really sweet and he's fat and he's like, you know, and I don't know who the hell he looks like. He really doesn't look like me, like, or my husband. I don't think.
Iconic.
But, so I don't know really how that happened. But yeah. He's also deeply, deeply multiracial. He's like Lebanese, French, and Ghanaian. And so like, he just looks like, I don't know what he looks like. All in the wash, it just kind of makes him look like, I don't know, Afghani, maybe. I don't know. Like, he just looks like kind of, I don't know where he's from. But,
and that's where he is on his journey.
That's where he's on his journey. He's Afghani on his journey.
Does he like living in London? Does he talk about London?
He loves London.
How old is he exactly? No offense, but how old is he exactly?
Exactly, he is 11 months and 2 weeks old.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And did you always want to have kids, or how did you come to this decision?
Oh my God. I didn't always want to have kids. No, actually I didn't always want to have them, but I knew that it was something that I needed to, that I was going to do rather, not needed. Mm. I knew I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't want it like for a long time.
That's how I feel.
Right? Well, that's why you freeze freezes one's eggs and just like,
oh gives my God. Do you know what I got in the mail today? They mailed me a photo of my frozen eggs. It's the creepiest, most disgusting looking photo. I'll show it on Patreon. Send y'all my eggs on Patreon.
What if they mailed you a box like in 7 and it was your eggs in the box instead of Gwenda's head?
I wish.
Wait, sorry. What did you say, Nana?
I said that's what happens when you stop paying. They just mail you the eggs.
Yeah. No, literally. Yeah. They're like, hey, defrost. Shove them up there. So you knew it would happen, but you didn't want it to.
Yeah, I didn't want to. It was just like moving towards this inevitability. And so then there was this pandemonium and, we just decided that, it was like, I guess the world is ending. So maybe this is our last like thrust of hope. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was just kind of like, I think it's now. And then it was now. That there was
So, and did you always want to get married?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think so. I'm not super like chill about commitment. I just kind of like need to be like, I'm a Virgo, you know, I needed to just know like where we stood, what was happening. And so I do think if I hadn't gotten married, I would have been like looking at him like, why the fuck won't you marry me? You know, like what is it?
Oh, totally. Well, I love getting mad about that. Even if I don't want to be married, exactly. I love to get mad about not being.
Yeah.
But I want to be cool. I want to be cool girl. I want to be cool. I want to be like low key. I want not like limited commitment, but in fact, I'm not that girl. And I think it was really important in my journey of realizing that I'm not that bitch. Like, I just need you to put it right. Yeah. I'm just conventional totally. And boring.
Wait, if you feel safe sharing, I would love for you to share you and Kareem's love story because I feel like it's so romantic.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Wait, I don't know what part you're talking about, but like I do think but one of my favorite things about Catherine Cohen is that the very first time we met, do you know that I have a very strong memory of the first time that we met?
At the pizza place?
Oh shit, was it the pizza place? Sorry.
Oh, it must not be that strong a memory, girl.
Maybe it was before the pizza place. Maybe it was before the pizza place.
What pizza place?
I said maybe. I shouted at the computer. Maybe it was, maybe your memory is before the pizza place and it was the first time you met.
No, my memory is after the pizza place. You were right. That's that Princeton for you. So the second time we met, which, now I'm doubting myself. Okay. It doesn't matter. We were at a theater. We were going to see a play and we were with our mutual friends and Kareem came in first and I saw you lean over to our mutual friend and was like, he's hot. And I was like,
I'm openly in love with him. He's so hot and he's so funny. Yeah. No, I want to destroy your marriage and be adopted by you at the same time.
I'm through. My son needs a sibling and a stepmother.
Oh my God, I'd be such a good big sissy.
Yeah, you're like, your sister and your stepmom. Make it make sense. Yes.
Make it make sense.
Make it make sense. So anyway, Kareem and I met in a bar in Austin, Texas. And we were petting the same dog. That was not my dog. We were petting the same dog. And then we started like joking about the dog's inner life, like what novels were on the dog's like side table from his bed.
Oh my God. That's literally a movie.
It was kind of a movie. It felt kind of cinematic. And then I didn't live in Austin. And I basically was like, okay, I guess I'm going to stay here because this is working. Right. But I was on this web series called An African City, and it was shooting in Accra in Ghana. And so I was leaving in like 3 months to go there. And then after that, I would go to New York. And basically 2 weeks into knowing me, he bought a ticket to come to Ghana while I was shooting that web series. And which was great because he forwarded me the ticket. I mean, this gives you a sense of his sense of humor. He forwarded me the ticket, and he said, "You did say Ghana, right? Not Uganda." And
it's so funny. Like,
that was it.
Is he in the creative field?
He is. He's a novelist. I know. Oh my God!
Listen,
hot alert.
Hot
alert. Yeah. I'm randomly sort of going bald here, which is kind of cool. Do y'all like that?
Oh my God. Is it because you do that a lot? Because I have a friend that does that. Like his spiritual gesture is like this, like just kind of like going this. And now it's started to like wither his hairline.
Okay, so, I'm gonna stop.
My gesture is like this. I'm a lot of like this.
That's hot.
Yeah,
but it's hot. But it's like, is it more than the hair can handle? Is it more than the follicle?
Right, totally.
I do think just genetically, I think I'll have hair for a long time, which isn't even something I necessarily care about, because I famously think bald guys are really hot, and sometimes I'll even seek that out in pornography. But my phone thinks I'm going bald because my boyfriend Angelo truly isn't really going, he isn't really losing hair, but he's convinced he is losing hair. And so he's always talking about it, and he's always talking about like remedies, and he talks about it so much that my phone actually thinks I'm balding. So I get so many, because my phone can't tell
the difference. It hears the whispers of your lover. It hears the whispers of your lover's concerns.
My phone can't tell the difference between me and my partner. So it thinks, so it keeps giving me targeted ads for like.
So your phone thinks all gay guys are the same.
My phone literally thinks there's no difference between any gay guy ever anywhere.
That's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, my question is, is that the process of going bald? Because almost every man I know thinks they're going bald, and then they eventually do, right? I mean, is that not just a process?
They manifest
like a soothsayer?
Maybe it's like we just need to start believing these men who are standing up and saying, "I'm going bald."
Yeah, let's raise up their voices and lift them up to the Lord. Can I say what's disgusting? Oat milk. I don't need it. I don't like it. It tastes bad. I'm over it.
What's your preference?
I think just regular whole milk. Like, let's just go.
Shut up. That is so fucking retro. Yeah.
That's me. I'm a vintage queen. I'm basically like Marilyn Monroe over here drinking whole milk, slurping it from the cup. Now, sorry, go ahead.
For one, I'm like a pretty cow milk person myself. I don't necessarily care between the percentages or the skim or the whole, like, that doesn't feel much smart to me. My boyfriend's sister is this, like, has this stance where she's kind of like opposed to milk in general. And one time I asked her why, and she was like, "You think cows were put on this earth for us to drink their milk?" But she's not like vegetarian or anything. I mean, you could say that about anything. You could say, think chickens were put on this earth for us to fry them and put them in a big bucket and like eat them on a picnic. Like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of other animals that are food sometimes, but
everyone lists all the animals that are food sometimes. Quail. That's kind of a random one.
You think quail was put on this earth to have it at an overpriced restaurant? No, it was put on this earth. But whatever.
Say la vie.
I was going to talk about vegans, but I'm not interesting about that.
Like, are you vegan?
No. I'm not vegan. I would love to be vegan. I spiritually connect with vegans, except for the fact that they're annoying. Except for the right. like that's the only totally. That's the only hiccup is that if they could just be not annoying, then I would join their cause. Because like I don't want to do it either. But it's like it just makes me laugh. Your I guess sister-in-law. Can we call her sister-in-law? But like
soon to be.
Is it for real? I would love that. You heard it here.
Oh,
first,
is it the other one?
I don't know.
Wait, what?
Is I she, said, aren't is aren't, your, is it, aren't they engaged?
Who?
Sister-in-law? Your boyfriend's sister.
No, she said your sister-in-law, Catherine. Your boyfriend's
me?
Sister. Yeah.
No, that's we're talking you were, to me.
No, we're talking to Pat. We're look at me. We're both talking to you about the milk girl. The milk girl, Pat.
The milk girl.
No, sorry. I thought you were talking to Catherine. Okay, wait. Sorry. Wait. Sit over. Wait. What's the question?
The question is I appreciate, is she a hypocrite in like other areas of her life? Like, you know, where she'll fuck up a cheeseburger but won't drink milk.
No. She like, I also don't like, I wouldn't say hypocrite. I would just say like, there seems to be like, I feel like she's not articulating correctly like what her actual issue is. I think she just doesn't like milk and that's just like something she reached for.
And that's her POV.
That's her
but
POV.
But no, she's not really a hypocrite. She's not a hypocrite. Now
that's
I feel
beautiful.
Like, now I'm like very scared. I'm going to like.
Oh my God, I'm a hypocrite. We're all hypocrites. It's fine. Like join our rank.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, listen up, okay? Because gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s, and that is bad.
Yeah, but you know what's good? You know what's good, Pat?
What is good?
Ritual is essential for women 18 plus multivitamin. It was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 and up. It's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support, babe.
Yeah, but I guess they probably stopped there. No, they
didn't. No, they didn't stop there.
They invested in a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of essential for women 18 plus multivitamin.
Absolutely. And I have loved the results. I have noticed that Ritual increases my vitamin D levels. It helps with omega-3s. And it's just so amazing. It's nice to have a little something I can do for myself. Make me feel like I'm putting a little healthy kick in my step. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Take it where you can get it. A published clinical study is a big deal after all. And a serious commitment to a first-of-its-kind standard in the industry is like huge.
Right. And the good news is right now Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/seek treatment and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/seek treatment.
ritual.com/seek treatment.
It's not such a crazy idea.
Go to it.
Go
to
it. Okay. I was going to ask, so basically on this podcast, we just ask one question. Nana, it's who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be?
Therapeutic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Give us the origin story.
I think I was a really highly ambitious, lonely kid. Oh. And I think I am. Wait, are we talking about this in like macro terms or do you like literally want to know like the bio?
People do whatever, but I would say like, I'm intrigued by the start. Where did you grow up?
So I was born in New Haven, Connecticut. And then I spent most of my childhood in a suburb of Hartford. And then where I was like very, I stuck out, let's just say. And like really wanted to like get out. Like my entire family lived on my dad's side. Everybody was in the Bronx and we were like due north. And it was really like, I just wanted to be there. Like I just wanted to be with my cousins. I wanted to be with my aunts and uncles. And so that was a super, that was like very formative for me. It was like, there was no doubt that as soon as I was able, I went to college. And then after that, I you know, came to the city and that was that on that. And I feel very, I think that has a lot to do with it. Like always the thing that I want just being out of reach, I feel like that is my that is the space that I operate in. Like that's my flex. Like I know how to achieve something that is like in the middle distance. Like I know how to like just fucking work at it and run toward it. That's just it. I like love setting a goal and achieving that shit. Virgo Nation. So I think like that's basically who I was. I think who I am, I'm still figuring it out because like, as you guys know, just became a mom. I think that that's a crazy, huge like seismic shift that I haven't yet been able to like figure out where I land on it. Like there's mm-hmm. sometimes where like the thought of him like experiencing any unhappiness or pain or anything like actually makes me need to lie down. And yeah. then, but then also like, if I have a call and he's like getting his diaper changed and screaming as if he is being murdered, I'm like, can someone get rid of this baby? You know? Okay. Who put this baby here? You know,
that's crazy.
So I kind of vacillate between the two. And I think, you know, I really love that people are more down, at least than they were, to having like open dialogues. I know that like my mother is like horrified whenever I intimate that like, this is kind of cramping my lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, she's like, but what? Like, you've done the thing. Like, and I'm like, right. But my whole life is not culminating in creating this life. I'm still forming myself, like,
right.
You know, on a parallel track now. Like, and I, so I just, yeah. So I'm still figuring that out.
The thing about babies.
Oh, go ahead.
The thing about babies and little kids is like, they kind of just don't like, they can't like feel a room. So it's like, even when like you're doing something, they like, it. They just want you to keep doing it again and again and again until like, it's like, no, this is boring for me now. You have to learn to let, like, no one wants to play the same little game with you like for a million hours. And
but isn't that also a lesson? Isn't that also a lesson? Like maybe fuck the room. Like just do what gives you joy. Like I feel
fuck
like
the room. I'm making sure.
The room.
Fuck the room.
Yeah, but also it's like that's gonna make babies not. That's gonna make babies not like them if they keep doing it. You know what I mean?
You want your baby to be popular.
Yeah, with you.
Yeah. I think that's totally true. And then want to be.
What's your dream?
My dream is like, I have a friend, Peter, who I went to college with, who.
Shout out, Peter.
Yeah, shout out, Peter. And because I just don't think I can give a better answer than this, I'm just going to borrow Peter's answer. When he was he's in finance, he went to Wharton, whatever. And
oh my
like,
God.
I know. And when he was interviewing at like all the banks, I think this was his Morgan Stanley or Deutsche Bank interview or something. They were like, Peter, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And he said, in a white Armani suit and a baby blue Bentley. And I feel like that is actually who I want to be.
That is an iconic response that we've never had on the pod, and I'm obsessed.
I wonder if he had that prepared or on the spot. He was like, this is what I want.
Knowing Peter, it was on the spot. That was
wow. In 10 years, I'd want to be like in a silk gown on a private jet. Pat, you go. Pat.
That's what I'm saying, kind of something sartorial and then something vehicular to kind of
to break it down. If you want to try this at home, that this is the formula.
I do see myself in like mesh shorts, mm-hmm. but in like nice sports car. I'm trying to think of like a car that's like expensive, but like, I mean, I keep going to like Humvee or something, but then like
G-Wagon
is what I'm thinking. But I don't want people to think I'm bad for the environment or something, but I mm-hmm. do like that.
But though, 10 years from now, the G-Wagon will be electric. 10 years from now,
totally.
So you see yourself mesh shorts in an electric G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Topless?
No, I'm wearing like.
You should be wearing mesh on the top too. I want you to be wearing mesh. And
mesh.
I am wearing head to toe mesh and I am in an electric G-Wagon. No.
Okay, I actually feel like I'm not really in a satin dress. I'm more in like, on the private jet, I'm in like a really overpriced cashmere like jumpsuit type thing because it's travel day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm having like sushi on the plane.
You know what I want for you? I want artisanal goat cashmere, like a very specific yes. kind of cashmere for you. Yeah.
In like a shade of like ox blood or oatmeal.
Ooh, yes, yes. Yeah,
something like that. Or something. I don't know. Or something. We like to ask on the show, how many boyfriends have you had?
So many.
I really? Have so many.
So many. Oh my God. Here's the deal is that before I met my husband, I worked in nightlife. And
oh,
so
I didn't know that.
It was something. And I feel like I will at some point write something about it because it was so insane. And it was like, you know, like a few years before Me Too, like actually a while before Me Too. And so this is like, so just men behaving badly, but also like women, everyone behaving badly. And yeah. And so I used to meet guys all the time at my place of work. And I didn't know what I was moving toward. So the net was just really wide open. I just knew I wouldn't date an actor. I would never date an actor, another actor.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. I just think like, I don't need that. I'm going to bring the shine to this relationship. Not
totally.
That's why I want to date Peter, your friend who works in finance.
I want you to date Peter, my friend who works.
Is Peter gay?
Peter's not gay, unfortunately.
That's okay. He can be gay for my friend.
He can be gay for Pat. He can be gay for
totally.
Pat.
Yeah. Totally. Beautiful.
Peter's gay for me. Get gay for me, bitch. I'm going to meet him and say, get gay for me, bitch.
I love it.
Are you
it.
In 10 years being gay for me? Peter.
So I think... I just did that. And so I had so many. I'm actually extremely proud. Like I remember thinking on my wedding day, like I really did it up. Like I had fun. I fucking
That's
did
so
that.
Good.
You know what I mean? Like I am ready to commit to this man because I fucking did that shit. It was great.
What do you mean worked in nightlife? Like were you like serving like fancy cocktails to like, businessmen, to men in blue Bentleys?
I started, I worked for the Tao Group. Yeah, and so I started in coat check and worked my way up. And I was doing so I never bartended, but I was doing basically front of house. And so, for example, like at one of their properties, like I would be the bitch at the door with the list that said that you're not getting in today.
Oh my God. Jealous.
I know.
It'd be very intimidating.
Did you have to eyeball how hot people were and like let them in based on that?
Well, that's what I was going to say was that like, it was actually like I majored in sociology in school and actually really understanding human psychology and sociology was, I learned way more working the door at a nightclub than I did at University of Pennsylvania sociology department was wild because sometimes, right, like, the list wasn't full, but I was just, how you approached me said a lot about whether or not you were going to get in. And if I smelled blood, you weren't coming in. You know what I mean? Like if I smelled that you weren't confident about your right to be in here, you weren't coming in. And so,
oh my God. Wait, why? Cause you just felt like they're not going to bring like an amazing energy to the club.
Yes. Yeah. I was curating basically. Like I'm curating. And there were some people who had to come in because they had reservations or they had done bottle service. Like they bought a table, whatever. So like there was that, but there was also like, yeah, I mean, there was just also like some scrubs and there was, yeah. And I just, you needed to bring sexy energy. Like your energy just needed to be sexy.
You would never,
I would never get in. What tips do you have for people wanting to get into a club? I've never been to a club really.
I don't know. I mean, don't be a douchebag finance bro is the main hot headline. It's just like,
yeah, Peter. Yeah, Peter. You hear
yeah,
that?
Peter, get a grip. Get a grip. Get a grip and get gay, Peter. Get gay for my friend.
Peter, you ain't getting into the club, all right?
Peter would get in the club because he'd be in a white Armani suit and a baby blue band. But I think that, like, you know, ultimately, I think it's about like riding that line between confidence and arrogance, right? Like,
yeah,
one is super off-putting, one is deeply attractive. And I think that there's, you know, so I think that that's like, that's the highlight. That's the highlight. It's just like when you're entering a room, like ride the confidence wave, but not.
Yeah. Do I have to wear like a bandage dress and stiletto heels?
No. Stiletto and that was my favorite part is people who had great energy, but maybe weren't like, didn't fit the style profile, but like, I would still let them in because I'm like, I think your vibe is great. It's something that you can just discern within like half a second.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wait. Would they give you rules? Would they give you rules on like, were there any rules or was it you were just like in charge?
They would try to, but like, I mean, I won't divulge too much, but like,
yeah,
I didn't agree with all the rules. You know what I mean? Like I was
yeah,
just
there
like,
we go.
All these rules. I was like, I think that's dumb. And so I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And if it ever came, if a manager or somebody would come to me and be like, we saw that this, the table, they da da da, I'd be like, well, they bought a table, so they're in. Like, I would just say that, you know, like,
yeah.
I could do whatever I wanted. I was like very much like in charge.
You're making me want to try to go to a, like, try to get into a club. You know what I mean?
Pat, let's go. Let's go clubbing tonight. Let's go on clubbing on Thursday, July 7th.
You have to write about that. That would be such a fun world to see on like a movie because it is something that is so interesting. But you know, it's so hard to. It feels like you only know the tip of the iceberg. You know what I mean? It feels like there's such. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and also how people receive the news that they need to wait in line.
Oh, it's making me cringe.
Yeah, I know. So sorry.
I don't know how people get cool. Like, I've never been someone who, like, knows how to breeze in somewhere. I'm always like, oh, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Like, how do you become cool?
I don't know. I think you're so cool. Are you sure?
I'm honored you think that. I think in certain settings I feel comfortable. It's just, like, it's very few settings. I don't know. It's just, even like anytime I'm invited to an event or something, I still feel so awkward. Like, I don't know what to do or who to talk to. It's getting easier though, I guess.
I think it does. I think it gets easier. I don't know. Pat, what about you? Are you?
I think that sometimes I can like adequately feel, I think it's like, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say the sentence. I think it's a lot like interpersonally, like, when you can't act like you want to be there too bad. Like, you have to try to treat the space like it's like someone you're dating, or it's like, I could go at any time. Like, I don't need anything from this space. Like, I'm here and like, I think it's cool, but I'm willing to leave. Sometimes I get that mind space, but you know, a lot of times I get to a place where I'm like, oh, I'm just burnt out. And like, I'm having the same conversation with lots of different people. And like, it's not really fun for me. And like, I get stressed out when I feel like I keep getting into conversations with people that I can't end somehow. Like, I can't leave the conversation. That really makes me feel crazy. Like, oh my God. Like, so sometimes like sometimes I could do well in the beginning and then like I start to get overwhelmed when it's like just so many conversations right in a row.
Do you leave when you hit that, or do you try and power through? Cause I think that's the art, is just knowing when to leave.
Yeah. I think I know when to leave, but I don't know I don't know how to do it. Like, what I say, because it's like, at this point, it's become such a trope of like, I gotta go to the, I'm gonna go get a drink. You know what I mean? When you like announce your next thing you're doing. Like, it feels like we're not hiding the ball enough now when we say that. So it has to be something like, I don't know how to like dismiss someone.
Oh man. Okay. So I'm actually still figuring that out for myself too. Catherine and I were recently at a wedding. And and at that wedding, when we were walking in, we were with a mutual friend of the couple getting married, and somebody approached him who I didn't know her, but she approached him and was just like, "Hey, you're in town." He didn't live there anymore. We were in Austin, and he was like, she was like, "You're in town. Like, oh my God, we should get a drink or something." And I almost like blacked out because it was so perfect. But So I wish this is a bad story because I can't quite remember the punchline, but he somehow Jedi mind tricked us. And I saw him absolutely turn her down without any.
Oh my God. Powerful.
He was definitely not getting a drink. However, he was so much style and like swerve that like he didn't even know what was happening. Like, she didn't even know what was happening, but it was not mean. It was so kind. It was like kind and generous, but also very firm that they weren't getting a drink. And that needs to be on this podcast and school us all about
how to do it. That is the art. That is the art of a lifetime.
Lately, I've been doing a lot of like, as soon as I get the idea of like, oh, it's like, how are you doing? Have you been fine? Whatever. Lol. Maybe try one more time to push past the lol. Like, and then if there's just nothing there, even if it was like a successful interaction, but there's just nothing more, like I've been doing a lot of like, well, it was so amazing to see you. And then kind of like,
yeah, it was so good to see you. Like, good luck with your project. I don't know.
Yeah, you also have to like, you know, you are going to be like, if it's a party, you're going to be there now for like, you know, maybe a couple hours with this person. So it can't be a total like nice to see you, because you might end up in a conversation with them later. So it's such a tightrope.
I think you can sometimes be like, I'm going to say hi to so-and-so. Or like, oh, I'm going to say hi. It's so good to see you. I'm going to say hi to my friend over there or whatever.
I think that's true. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Or also the thing that I do, which might be too cruel, but if I see somebody nearby, I'll like wave them over. Oh my God, do you know so-and-so? And then like,
yes, I love that. And then I say, and then you know what I read once, you have to say like, this is Pat. He is an iconic podcaster. This is Nana. Her film comes out July 15th at BAM. And then you're like, okay. And then you just kind of go drift away.
Yep. Yeah.
Like you never saw this. Yeah. It's never happened.
I feel like
I'm very much someone who like, if I'm in a new space and if I just know one person, then I can like rock out and be like the absolute star queen. But if I don't know a single person, then it takes me a little bit of time to kind of cozy up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. The more people I know, the less comfortable I feel. Interesting.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I'm getting a caffeine headache. It's like, I never know how much to have. You know what I'm saying?
So you had too much or you had not enough?
I think I probably had too much today. My brother was here last week and he left this like big thing of cold brew in the fridge and I just kind of guessed and just kind of went off. And now I'm like realizing that I haven't eaten and I'm being a little bit kooky.
I had a really good exam. You know, so the hotel I'm in, it's like, you know, this classic setup that like they're all doing these days where like, it's kind of like a restaurant next door and you order room service from the restaurant that's not even the hotel. Do you know that? I keep getting in that situation where I'm like calling a hotel being like,
is your hotel nice?
Yeah, it's actually good. This was one where the venue booked it, so like I never know. But
plane, it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, on the plane, I was like, let me Google it, and it got like a bunch of like honestly not great reviews. And I was like, I've stayed honestly since I've been doing away like touring. I guess like I've stayed in some real clunkers, so I don't really mind. but I was kind of bracing myself for it to be bad, but it's actually really good. So I'm like totally fine with it.
Because they have something to prove. They know the reviews are bad. So they got to like,
totally.
You know?
Yeah.
That's smart.
Even one review was like, I've never in my life stayed at a hotel without a mini fridge and a microwave. And this space had neither of those things.
Which, ew, a microwave? Ew!
Microwave is not expected.
They're like condemning the hotel for not being a Best Western. That's like...
Literally. You should consider being a Best Western. But then I got here, it does have a mini fridge and it has a microwave, which to me is like... Maybe they read that woman's review or something and maybe she gaslit them.
And they changed everything.
She
changed everything about that hotel.
She gaslit them into thinking that they weren't a hotel unless they had microwaves in every room. So they put them in, I guess. But
wait, so Nana, who's your dinner with?
Who's my what? Sorry.
Who's your dinner with? What are the plans for tonight?
My dinner is actually kind of fancy. Not...
Oh!
I am... Oh my God, I guess I'm just going to say it.
You don't have to.
No. This is actually interesting because like as you work more in the world and you meet other people who work more in the world, like I have friends who will be like, oh, my friend, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anybody right now. But like, and then you realize through speaking that the friend that they're talking about is like, is Chris Hemsworth. Like is extremely.
There needs to be a German word for that phenomenon where someone's like,
I bet you there is. And so, like, that false modesty of like, oh, well, you know, my friend Chris. And it's like, well, just say it because we know who
he
is. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's so true.
It's anyway. No, go ahead.
No, someone just did that to me once with like, they were kept going, saying they were going to their friend Bridget's party. And then it was like at the end, then like, the next day I was talking to them, I was like, how was it? And they were like saying how like, Sarah Jessica Parker was acting there. And I was like, wait, what? Whose party? And it was like Bridget Everett. And I was like, oh, like That's obviously, going to Bridget Everett's party is completely different than going to a friend named Bridget's party. You know what I mean?
Right. And I would love the heads up. I want context. I want to get a sense of the vibe. So yeah. To that end, I will disclose. I'm going to dinner, and this is going to be really funny because you're going to be like, who? It's not Chris Hemsworth. I'm going to dinner with my friends, Will and Allie. Will is Will Jackson Harper, who is a really wonderful actor who's on
the show. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's amazing.
Season 2 of Love Life, which I just watched. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was fucking great.
I need to watch it because it's a different story, right? It's like a different follows story. Him.
And I didn't watch season one. I just skipped to season 2 and it was delightful. Williams. Anyway, and his girlfriend Allie, and then Rebecca Henderson, who's a fantastic actor, and her wife, Leslie Headland, who is a writer director.
Oh, I keep hearing that name.
Yeah, Leslie Headland is fucking flames, and they're in town because Leslie's doing the new Star Wars thing.
Oh, amazing.
So, I definitely recognize Will.
Damn. Okay, so it's a chic dinner. What are you going to wear? What's happening?
Well, I was just going to wear what I'm wearing right now.
Well, I can't see you, girl. I can't see you. So don't make it sound like I'm being crazy. I can see you only your face. Yeah. Don't make it sound like I'm being an absolute bitch.
I'm just wearing like a very comfy, cozy, like one piece jumpsuit. And then I was going to throw like a little chic jacket over it and just go like that.
Wait.
That sounds perfect.
Can you tell me do you like live in London or are you there for a trip or like?
No. So I am shooting in London.
Can you tell him?
I can totally tell you. I live in London. I gave birth in London. Hello. And so, anchor baby. And so I am, I'm here and, for the foreseeable future. And I'll like come to the States when I have to under duress. I'm here. I am here for now.
Are you going to be there when we're there? Are you going to be there on like July?
Treatment live, live.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Here's the only issue. The only issue is that it is my son's birthday. But he's going to be asleep. Like, he's not going to be awake. This motherfucker goes to sleep.
Bring him.
Bring our baby.
The Rosie birthday baby, show.
Just like asleep.
Yeah. I'll take him and I'll like show him to the whole audience. I'll be like, it is birthday.
Like Simba.
Full Simba.
No,
wait, that you're gonna be there.
Okay, I'm so excited for our trip. It's gonna be
heaven. I'm gonna meet you in person and I even wanna meet your baby if you'll let me. And if you'll let me, I would like to be a huge part of your baby's life.
Absolutely. You can
now. Now, as we wind down the episode, we have to ask a few questions. We have to touch base and we have to say, A, do you feel hot today?
Yes.
Yeah. You look amazing.
Wow.
You're gorgeous.
You're glowing.
You're a gorgeous girl, I have to say.
You're a stunning gorge.
I feel hot today. For some reason, I've been like, because this is like going to be the stupidest story anyone's ever told. Because I had a little hamstring pull, I've been doing a lot of foam rolling. And I weirdly feel like doing so much foam rolling has given me some kind of like strange tricep definition. Because you know how you have to like balance on the foam roll?
Yes. So I'm jealous. I want that.
At a certain point, you're doing Pilates. It's like, let's be honest. So like, I've been like liking it. So, and my hamstring felt like I was able to run seven and a half yesterday. My hamstring didn't hurt at all.
Miles?
That's miles. Really, oh, he's a serious runner.
I'm a serious runner.
Professional.
I had
going to the Olympics.
Going to the Olympics. I think tomorrow I leave for the Paris Games. So.
Checks watch. when you have an outfit that like you keep trying to make it work, even though it's not working, mm-hmm. and you're just like, every time you wear it, you're mad.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that way about, I don't feel hot today because I'm wearing this athleisure set that like looks so cute on the model and the way it is like cutting in certain, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? With like a bike short or like with a sports bra, it can hit in a way that like is not flattering. And I just like, I'm like, okay, so this is one, like I'll just keep it home and I'll wear it at home. Yeah. So I'm wearing this at home. So I don't feel particularly hot, but that's okay. And it's special and it's beautiful. I felt really hot yesterday. I wore the most amazing outfit and that's okay.
Did you wear it out or did you wear it just at home? Did you stay home in the outfit?
Of course, I wore it to my show, but it was one of those things where, like, as I left my house, I looked unreal, and then it was so hot, and I walked to the venue. My hair was three times as big. Like, I was literally dripping sweat, but at least I got, like, a cute photo at the beginning of the night. And that's all that – it's, you know, it's all for the –
all for the ground.
The photo at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Do we all have a crush of the week?
That's a good question.
Do I what? Sorry?
Do you have a crush? A crush, we call it crush of the week. It's like, it can be a person, place, thing, idea, feeling, emotion, scent, sight, whatever.
I do have a crush of the week. Well, okay, I have like a highbrow crush and then I have a lowbrow crush.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect. I love a high to low.
Okay, so the highbrow crush, I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but recently his name is Titus Kaphar or Kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R. He's a visual artist.
Looking it up.
He did a TED talk. Recently his work has come into my orbit and I'm like, holy shit, I'm obsessed with you. So that's my highbrow.
These are amazing.
Yeah, right? And he did, if you have like whatever 6 minutes, his TED talk is flames.
Oh really?
He's hot.
Yeah, right? Right.
Yeah.
What a perfect situation. Yeah. He's a genius and he's hot.
What a highbrow crush.
Thank you for bringing some highbrow energy to this podcast because we haven't said anything highbrow in about 2 years. So we really needed you today. You have no idea how much
we really need you to have a highbrow crush today and you really delivered.
Amazing. You are okay.
Oh my God. Now I want to think of a highbrow crush.
I want to hear your lowbrow crush.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get to the low. This should be the new segment, highbrow and lowbrow crush.
I think it's maybe necessary. Okay, so my lowbrow crush, and this is super UK specific, so you guys, you'll need to do a follow-up when you get here. Lowbrow crush is the croissants at Sainsbury's.
Oh, interesting. So now sounds bad.
It sounds terrible, right? Because if you say grocery store croissants to like an American, you're like, oh God, it's like doughy and like there's no like
in a bag. It smells like plastic, asphyxiated
croissant. And that's not a vibe. But I randomly, there's like a really expensive near me. There's a really expensive coffee shop that I love, has like coffee and like all the good things and the beans and the this and you know, the origin story of like everything. And then next to it is a Sainsbury's local, which is basically like a glorified bodega. And so I used to get my croissants from the fancy coffee shop, which are like £3, which is a lot for a croissant. That's like $25. And so then I randomly like smelled the piping hot croissants coming out of Sainsbury's. And I was like, let me give it a shot. And I did. And it was better than the coffee shop. So now I will preach the gospel of the grocery store croissant in the UK.
Everything's changed for me.
You know, I feel like, can I say that? I feel like grocery stores in the UK, like they don't know what to do with their produce. Like they always put it in a weird place.
I agree.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everything is like bagged. Everything feels like it's like not.
Well, I think grocery stores in the US all use the same consultant. And so they like the layout is like, no matter, like they all use the same, like McKinsey.
Let's get her on the pod. Let's get the grocery store consultant on the pod.
Because the layout is exactly the same, but here it's different. I think you're right.
I hope that the American grocery store consultant expands and starts to consult in the UK soon.
Maybe.
I think he's ready.
I wish her the best. It could be a guy, but we totally gendered her in a really fucked up way. Why? Because women should be cooking? Why? Because women should be in the kitchen, Pat? Pat? God.
In the kitchen.
My crush of the week, I think I'm going to say my crush of the week is Ms. Cracker. Because I just went with her yesterday to film like this little video for like a web series thing she's doing for her next show. And it was so fun. She's so funny. Such a delight. Yeah. Just fab.
Oh, wait. Can I add one more crush? Can I add one more?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. Of course. A bounty of crushes.
I have a crush on Mae Martin. Big time.
Oh, of course.
Big time. Big time crush on Mae Martin.
Love Mae.
To the point where I was walking down I was walking home and I saw them walking with someone else. And I literally did the thing, which is like horrifying in London. You can get away with it in New York and definitely elsewhere in the States. But I just was like, I love your show.
I'm sure they loved it. I'm sure they loved it. Everyone, you guys should be friends.
I would love to.
You guys would get along. Yeah, maybe maybe the fates will align and we'll all curate a hang.
That would be over there. Amazing. I've seen on your Instagram that you've hung with them, and I would love to get in on that because I think they're super talented. And also,
they're so talented.
That is some sexy energy that would get in the club, just to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Some sexy energy that would get in the club.
Yeah.
Confidence.
Anyway, I interrupted.
No, even I, as an inexperienced club letter inner, I would know that they should get in the club. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hundo.
Club letter inner. That could be the title of your next project, the club letter inner.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Pat, do you have a crush?
Well, my crush is definitely Peter.
Of course. How could we forget Peter?
Peter in finance.
I don't know. How silly.
I guess he's highbrow at the end of the day. He's a highbrow crush.
I forgot.
I don't think I have a lowbrow crush. It feels like maybe my lowbrow crush would be just something as simple and easy as the McDonald's bacon, egg, and cheese bagel sandwich because I had it on the way back from Rhode Island and it really is so good.
I mean, McDonald's does not miss.
They don't
miss. The kids say. My lowbrow. I mean, everything I've been doing lately is lowbrow. I'm living in squalor, but it's okay. I need my apartment's disgusting. Oh, well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out together.
Is it because?
Okay, our last question of the pod. Okay.
I was going to ask a quick follow-up about your apartment. I want to know why you're living in squalor.
You know why? Thank you for asking. It's because there's not enough room for my clothing. And so clothes just accumulate in bad places. And it's also a function. It's the fact that this is my brother's apartment that I'm subletting. So it's a lot of his stuff's in the way too. So it's just my life's extremely hard is what I'm saying. My life's extremely hard at this point.
Soup's hard.
Now, before we go, first of all, tell people how they can get tickets to Queen of Glory, how they can support the movie.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, my pitch, which is so boring but so true, is that post-pandemic indie film is really, really, really on its knees. And we really need to fucking show up if we want any sort of diversity, not just ethnic diversity, racial diversity, but literally diversity in story. If you don't want everything to be a Marvel film, you need to go and go see independent cinema. So that's my macro plug. Micro plug is we start July 15th at BAM. I'm so sad that you guys will be in Europe, but
I know it's sad.
I'll do one worse. I'm going to be in Indiana still at that point. Oh,
that's worse.
We're lining up very sexy moderators for Q&As afterwards. Lupita Nyong'o is going to be the moderator.
Oh my God.
After the Friday, July 15th show at 7 p.m. So she's going to do a Q&A with me and a couple cast members. And then, that's the thing. Google Queen of Glory. That's the easiest way. But you can go to BAM's website. You can find me on all the socials at It's Nana Mensa. That's the vibe. That's what we're doing.
I love it. What was I going to ask? I know. I wish I was going to be here. It bums me. It's just so funny that we're switching places. I'm laughing. Okay, before we go, the final question of the pod is always, are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you.
Are you mad that I called your husband hot the first time you met
me? No, I was truly flattered. I was truly flattered. It's I was just
I know.
Well, because also I was this bitch is audacious. And I too am an audacious bitch. And I recognize real, you know? It was just, I love that. I love that. So you automatically had a space in my heart.
I think it turns me on when people say my boyfriend's hot. I'm like, oh yeah.
Your boyfriend is hot. He's
I can't believe you haven't met.
He's a thick cookie. I love it. He's
I know.
Newton of a man. I love him.
That's so good. Amazing. Pat, are you mad at me? Because I brought up annoying business stuff at the beginning of our call.
No, I'm not mad at you.
Okay, cool. It has nothing to do with me at the end of the day. I'm just a girl in an ill-fitting athleisure suit trying to get by.
Are either of you mad? Are either of you mad at me?
No.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Nice.
Also, thanks for meeting on. I noticed, Kat, that your dad's birthday is today.
Thanks for me. Thanks for meeting on your dad's birthday.
Thanks for meeting on a holiday.
You're so welcome on a national holiday. You are so. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. it is my dad's birthday. I know. I just love him so much. You know.
So
what
maybe
I mean?
I should be asking if you guys are mad at me for forcing you to work on a holiday.
Yeah, I had to. I'm in San Francisco, but I was going to see friends for Catherine's dad's birthday here. Drinks. We're going to all have a lot of fun.
No, I'm so happy. I'm sorry we had to reschedule our initial plan. I'm so grateful that you were able to make this work.
I'm so happy to meet you. I can't wait to like meet you in person in
I know. London. I'm so excited.
We'll have a lot of fun in Lund.
It's going to be great. We're going to do all this. It's going to be perfect. Seek treatment if you're boring.